I'm Fritz Kessler, and I am not a gun owner.
And I'm Doug Campbell, and I am a gun owner.
Doug, I think one of the things that actually stuck with me the most from talking with you was when we were talking about how you sort of fell into ownership of different guns and the reasons why you have the AR-15, right? Because I think for me, the only context in which I hear about that weapon is extremely negative, right? And then, and then to hear you talk about, you know, you've got a long history with guns, and then maybe you could say it a little bit more, but I think it was just a matter of your wife feeling better using it, right?
Yep, that's correct. I'm a very pragmatic person. That's actually what I learned about myself compared to a lot of the other gun owners. So, wasn't something that I ever thought of as like, this is my constitutional right. Although it is, I guess.
Yeah.
It is. No, it's just a hobby.
Just a hobby. And then like specifically, it was like the recoil thing, right?
It's all a matter of ease of use. Yeah. And it's, I believe, legitimately why, you know, people who don't own guns, you know, there's source for concern there. They are small, light, portable, not difficult to use, not intimidating. I mean, they're designed for, you know, 17-year-old kids to go to war with.
Yeah.
So let's just be real about that.
Right. And that's different than some of the other guns you own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No operate or firing an AR-15 is dramatically different than, say, a Lee Enfield or any other. They're all going to be different to a certain extent. Every rifle or handgun you use is going to have different characteristics.
Right.
That's why Americans love the AR-15. It's easy to use, easy to work on, affordable to shoot. Parts are plentiful.
Yep. Which is all, you're right. Like, it's all like, for me, that's, it's both illuminating to hear that aspect of it, and then also sort of like maybe doubly terrifying a little bit too, right?
I can understand where somebody would be concerned. I mean, I'm just trying to think of how to say this without committing gun owner apostasy. It is a rifle that is designed to do something, and it does it really well, just like any other rifle that's designed for military applications. And also, for me, moving from a pretty rural kind of, you know, more libertarian, you know, state to Washington and seeing the sheer volume of people, and then I'm guessing for you, and now you're thinking, okay, one of these many people could be out to get on the news today, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, no, it's been eye-opening just living here.
Yeah, no doubt. And that, but I also felt like, and again, hopefully not having you commit gun owner apostasy, right? But, we were talking a bit about like what's meaningful to you when you vote. I appreciated hearing that at least it sounds like guns are not like so divisive an issue to you that you wouldn't necessarily vote for like one candidate or another.
The gun issue. The gun well, like policy. I was saying too, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
At this point, the gun issue is so convoluted and so politically and emotionally charged that if action were to be taken in Congress, I think that the result that either of us would want would be dramatically different than the final bill we'd get.
Yeah.
So I take that into account when I select candidates. I'm more concerned about the guy who's going to say, do the concrete thing, like fix the I-5 or give us a train.
Yeah.
For a local issue, you know. Than guns.
Right.
You know, it's not a concrete thing that's going to make our nation better or worse than, you know. What's frustrating about all this is that, you know, it's something I've been talking to people too, is you look at the 24-hour the news cycle that we have in the United States now, and it's very easy to frame something in a black and white manner.
Yeah.
You know, for or against this or that. You know, and we're not going to be able to go to our representatives and say, hey, here's an idea. You know, we got this National Firearms Act. It precludes people from owning all kinds of nasty stuff. I mean, the thing is, like, you know, if you're talking about the right to keep and bear arms, I mean, what's an arm? Mm. You know, a grenade?
Yeah.
You know, laser guided missiles. Just, I've heard that argument too, you know. And so I just think that there's legislation that could be put forward that would satisfy everybody. Mm-hmm. And current state of the way the media is working is not the way we're going to get people to engage with each other and engage with their representatives to come to an answer so that, you know, people on different political sides can move on to worrying about something else.
Yeah. You know? And I really appreciate hearing that from you. Like, again, me just not getting to interact with a gun owner very often, right? To know that there is someone like you where guns is not going to be such like the hot button wedge issue that it has to be so divisive, right? It gives me a little bit of hope, you know, more hope that we can hopefully coalesce around something that is a solution, right? And not just more divisive rhetoric.
Yeah, that's exactly why I wanted to come out and do this today, is because I'm not the, type of Alex Jones wacko that I think comes out in a lot of these portrayals. And the vast majority of gun owners are the same way. It's a very moderate, politically diverse group of people, which is why even when I was listening to the radio, I was like, hey, you know, discussion with gun owners, like, now this is something I can do.
You know,
this is something I know about, at least enough to come to you and just be like, hey, well, I like to talk. I might not know very much, but fine with having a discussion.
I think you know a lot.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Yeah.